Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, friends. Thank you for downloading the Hot Lap podcast again. I tell you what, right? I'll explain to you like proper inside baseball of how I do the podcast, because I find it's easier to get it uploaded quickly on Sunday evening. Basically, I don't edit it. You might have noticed that. But I have like the little network thing queued up, and then I have the intro music queued up. Queued up, and then I start talking like when it's at the sort of right point of the like of the drop off on my little fade on the intro. I find it's easier because that means I can just then upload it and I don't have to go back and start splicing things in and making sure things sound right and things like that. It's just an easier way of doing it. Podcast tip. But, like, the fucking intro music to this show fucks, doesn't it? Like, if that wasn't, like, just random piece of music that I managed to buy off someone on the internet, if he wrote for a band, I'd buy their music, because it's fucking cool. Anyway, I hope you're all having a lovely weekend. It's 7 o'clock nearly on a Sunday evening in the UK. I've had a lovely weekend. I'm now sporting a brand new tattoo that you might have seen on Instagram and Facebook that I posted up. That was designed for me by our very own Susie Manton, and she also did some of the work on it as well. But yeah, that was really cool. I've always wanted a tattoo, and now I've got one, and it's like shining related, which makes it extra cool. So apart from that, we had Formula One to deal with, didn't we? Great. I was glad we had Formula One to deal with, because otherwise, like most of the time, things are pretty shitty. So for 2 hours in our lives, we can forget about the shitty stuff and just watch some cars go around the track. Before we start talking about where the people were and what order they came in and various stories that I managed to grab a hold of before my brain stopped working, I thought it was a pretty boring Grand Prix. I think this is going to be like the opposite of last week, I think, where everybody thought last week's Grand Prix was boring. I thought it was all right. I thought this was pretty fucking dull, if I'm perfectly honest. And even with what happened with pit stop strategies, one interesting thing, I think. There's one really good thing I want to talk about later. But apart from that, I thought very early on, you could see from when one moment happened, it was going to be a foregone conclusion what the result was going to be. So yeah, I found myself battling sleep during it, and I wasn't even out last night. But that was just one of those things, I suppose. Anyway, what do we have? Yuki Tsunoda was last. Not his fault. He had a electrical failure or an engine failure or something that made his car stop moving forward and stop. At first, when it went to that shot of him, I did think he had a bit of a spin. That's where my head went first. But no, he didn't have a spin. It was some sort of technical issue. Very sad for him. But he hasn't been what you call on top of it all weekend. I do stand by my thing of saying that maybe he was just he caused a bit of impact immediately, and time will tell. You know, I think that, like I say, I think there's been some overhyping with Yuki Tsunoda from media people. Really, it's not, you know, it's not his fault. He's just coming in trying to do the best job he can. But I think the media see a personality, and some one people will gravitate towards, and they want to make a big deal of them, don't they? It's in the same way as they want to turn Carlos Sainz and Daniel Ricciardo into the next Formula One circus, and they don't see, especially Daniel Ricciardo doesn't seem to want to play that game, which I'm fucking happy about. There wasn't really anything to talk about for Tsunoda. He just had a pretty rough time of it. You know, he had a rough qualifying. He never felt like he was sort of on pace with his teammate. He accused his team of maybe not giving him the same car in qualifying, which I found very fucking odd. I'm sure he regretted saying that as soon as he said it, to be perfectly honest, because I don't. When you consider how Red Bull have treated Pierre Gasly, it's not like he is the fucking chosen one, is it? So, yeah, it's just one of those things. I look forward to seeing what he's going to do in the next race. I suggest he will probably crash in Monaco. Nikita Mazepin was his usual slow self, and he fucking... it's like he's colorblind to blue, isn't it? He does not give a fuck if he's getting lapped. And now, obviously, I you guys fucking know me. You know what I'm up to. You know that 9 times out of 10 when I say nice things about Mazepin, I'm just trying to fucking boil a bit of piss in the corner. That's fine. We get it. We get it. It's all fun, isn't it? But in all seriousness, I did think that given what happened to him on the way into Formula One, that it was worth maybe not talking about that sort of stuff and allowing him to succeed or fail on his own merits. And he's not looking good, is he? And I am confused by it. I said it last week. I'm confused why he seemed like a competent GP2 driver that's an awful Formula One driver. What I do think is, mind you, saying that Nicholas Latifi was a competent Formula One driver as well, who also appears to be an awful Formula One driver. Sorry, a competent GP F2 driver that seems to be an awful Formula One driver. But what I am thinking is, when you look at the Mazepin way into Formula One, which is very similar to the Stroll way into Formula One, where Stroll invested in a team, be it Williams, and then that led to one thing and then another thing, and then a team is bought, which is exactly what I think the Mazepin family are going to do. I do wonder if, would Lance Stroll have done better or worse than Mazepin in a car that bad? Because that's the thing with Lance Stroll. When he came in, he was fucking abysmal, and he's still not the greatest of Formula One drivers, let's be honest. But he was abysmal when he first came in. But he had a fucking good Williams. You know, he got the last of the decent Williams cars before it all went fucking downhill, which, again, we'll talk about this a little bit later on, might even be Stroll-related as to, you know, I've kind of put all the blame on the Williams family door, especially Claire, and I still stand by that. I know some ins and outs of what's gone on there, and yeah, it's I still mainly put the blame on that team's like failure to on the management side, but I can't help but think that Stroll money came into Williams And then things started happening to Williams, and Stroll money went into Aston Martin, and things seemed to be happening to what was Force India. So, but yeah, I don't think Lance Stroll would have done better in that car. I think he'd have probably been worse. So it's hard to judge, isn't it? It's hard to judge Mick Schumacher as well. Mick Schumacher seems to be doing a pretty solid job, to be fair. You know, it's the I've said quite a lot that he's obviously not the second coming of his father type thing, but who knows in that car? You know what I mean? I mean, it's not even this year's car. It's last year's car made legal. I mean, that's not ideal for anybody coming into Formula One. So, I mean, Mick, I suppose this is one thing for Mick and Mazepin. Neither of them have to worry about being thrown out of Formula One, which is not, if you were George Russell, for instance, that came in into that team, or Lando Norris, or I don't know, Tsunoda, for instance, had come into Haas instead of AlphaTauri. You know, you could fall out of Formula One very easy. Mick Schumacher is not going to fall out of Formula One after one season. It's just not going to happen. Mazepin has all of the money in the world, so he's not going to fall out of Formula One. So they both have time to prove that this is Haas's issues and not their issues. 17th was Fernando Alonso. How sad that is. He looked like he was hanging on for a point for a while. They had to pit in the end. It's just he said in an interview that he was just hanging on to the back of the cars, and he took a gamble of trying to get some tyres to try and get back up into the points. Didn't work. I don't really know what's going on with Fernando. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure. That car is so hard. I mean, and I'll hold my hands up. He is being beaten by Ocon, and that surprises me. Is it just Fernando needing to get used to being back in a Formula One car? Everybody, you know, everyone that's changed teams has struggled. So when you consider that Fernando hasn't been in Formula One for 2 years, then maybe it's that. Maybe that's what it is. I would think that right now coming in this weekend and Monaco, we didn't see the updates that we thought Alpine were going to bring, that, or they brought updates, but we didn't think we thought they were going to do more than they actually did, by the sound of it. So, I mean, again, I don't think Fernando Alonso is going to fall out of Formula One. So, we will hope that they produce a better car next year to maybe show off some more. So show whether Fernando has still got the old Alonso there. I mean, he showed glimpses of it, like he monstered Lance Stroll at the beginning of the race. You know, it's a brave racer that puts Lance in positions like that, because, you know, we've seen it before. He's not the best at wheel to wheel combat. So, you know, the old Fernando is still there. It's just, is he going to get in the time that he has available to him in Formula One? Is he going to be able to get to be around long enough to get a car to show any of it? I do hope so. 16th was Nicholas Latifi. Who fucking knows what Nicholas Latifi does? 15th was Antonio Giovinazzi. I should go back. It did look quite good for Williams at one point, didn't it, when they double stacked them? But tyres ultimately destroyed Williams. Probably because they're moving around a little bit more. You know, they've got this aero, peaky aero car. It can't be easy to drive. But yeah, Nicholas Latifi will forever just be pottering around. I don't know. What should we say? He'd be pottering around 6 seconds behind George, generally, you know, halfway through a race. Maybe four if he's been particularly on it and George had a sandwich. But yeah, so it's, yeah, Nicholas Latifi's there. You know, hey, fuck it. If you're Canadian, he's Canadian. Support him. 15th, Antonio Giovinazzi. Again, like, it seemed like he was going to have a reasonably decent race. I thought they'd have qualified better than they actually did. They fucked his tyres up by bringing an uninflated tyre up. Everyone said that that's something they've never seen. You know, all the pundits, I've never seen anything like that before. So, yeah, somebody forgot to put the bloody nitrogen or whatever it is they fill these tyres full of. So, yeah, pretty bleak day for Antonio Giovinazzi, beaten by George Russell, who was 14th. Like I said, George Russell was hassling Fernando Alonso for 10th at one point. Really thought he was going to do it at that time, but the tyres and time just got the better of him, which saw him demoted to 14th and behind the points battle which he was in. Just ahead of him in 13th was Sebastian Vettel. Again, another week to forget for Sebastian. Should we look? Let's address Sebastian Vettel. We'll do it in depth a little bit later on, actually, because I think one of you's mentioned him in the comments, so it's probably better. I've got quite a, you guys fucking hooked me up this week with questions, theories, comments, and queries about the Grand Prix. So that was good. I enjoy getting like messages that we can read out and go through on the podcast because it gives me content. Kimi Raikkonen was 12th again. I thought Kimi would have been better. I think something happened to Kimi. Did something happen to Kimi that I've forgotten? Not sure. I think something happened to Kimi. See, I do this off memory, if I'm perfectly honest. I usually do this off memory and Ted Kravitz's notebook, but there's no notebook this week, was there? So we're just doing it off of his memory. Lance Stroll was in 11th. Lance had a pretty good race, didn't he? You know, it's, again, how good is Lance Stroll doing? Because neither, you know, he hasn't got a benchmark at the minute. I mean, is Sebastian Vettel actually doing a really good job? And Lance is really fucking, like, giving it a courtesy lick and ramming it home. Or is he just doing what Lance Stroll does, getting a car? Is that car capable of going, like, I don't know. If he got it in 11th, should it have been 6th? Should it have been up there with McLaren and Ferrari? Who knows? You need a benchmark in there, and right now we don't have one because we have Lance Stroll and a broken Vettel still. Or is he still? He's not Ferrari broken. Let's say mending Vettel. Pierre Gasly got 10th. He got the last points position. Excellent recovery drive from him, considering he had a penalty for parking his fucking car in the wrong goddamn place. He was like front wheels over the yellow line. Fucked it. Absolutely fucked it. It was like a nana parking a car in a multi-story car park. So good recovery. Got a good recovery drive from Pierre Gasly. Esteban Ocon was 9th. A good solid drive again. You know, it's Fernando Alonso is your benchmark, and he's outqualified him and beat him in the race once again. Never appeared to be anywhere near Fernando, did he? You know, he always seemed to be ahead enough where they never really fought each other. One thing I will say here is when people turn around and say, oh yeah, well, Spain's not very good for overtaking, I've got a great idea. Let's stop going to those circuits. The circuits where people say, oh, cars can't overtake here, let's not go there. That's like saying, let's go and get ice cream. Should we go to the coal yard? You know, it's like, no, you can't. You can't get ice cream there. Okay, right, great. Should we go to the place where we can get the ice cream? Let's go get the ice cream. If I want coal, then I'll go to the coal shop. I won't go to the ice cream shop because the coal shop will have coal. The ice cream shop will have ice cream. And if we go to the circuits where there's no overtaking, those circuits won't have the overtaking. And even with DRS, you know, we saw a few moves, and like again, Lewis overtaking to take wins, which is great. It's great to see. But most people, especially in the mid grid, where maybe everyone was on a similar strategy, because I think it was only Kimi that started on slightly different tyres. Oh no, it was Kimi that started on different tyres. And he one stopped it as well. What an absolute savage. Was he the only person? No, Esteban Ocon pulled a one stop off as well. Kimi and Esteban, only one stoppers of the race. Esteban clearly making it work better than Kimi did, though. But yeah, we need to stop going to these tracks and just like, you wouldn't have an IndyCar race around a dirt oval. You know, we should go to tracks which fit Formula One cars. We shouldn't take Formula One cars to tracks and then make them work. It's even worse when fucking circuits are purpose-built for Formula One cars and they don't work for them. I'm almost convinced the only one I can really, really think of my head in modern times is... I'm not to count street circuits because I do quite like Baku. But, we're Austin, aren't we? Austin's the only, like, modern classic, if you like. And that's just because it's plagiarism corner by corner. But, I just want better circuits. I want better circuits for racing on. And we get, like, the dullest doubleheader here, don't we? Because you get Spain where you can't overtake. And this is why cars pretty much finished where they started. And then we go to Monaco where cars definitely almost certainly finished where they start. So yeah, it's like the fucking snooze doubleheader for the next race after this race. Where are we up to? Lando Norris was in eighth. Again, he made one place up. He was ninth. He got to eighth. I was hoping for a bit more from, I was hoping from a little bit more from Lando, but he did what he could. He did a good job, I suppose. And he just, you know, that again, I think it's like the, I think we'll talk more about Mercedes and Red Bull, but I think the two closest cars in performance, especially this weekend, seemed to be Ferrari and McLaren, didn't they? They seemed to be like the same speed type car, just with a different splash of paint on it. So yeah, that puts you in that awkward situation, doesn't it, where you can't really move forward. Did Carlos Sainz get Lando on the restart? I think that was it, and then there we were. But I expect more from Lando in Monaco. In fact, I think Lando and George Russell both going to do rather well in Monaco. Carlos Sainz, seventh, solid drive from Carlos. He thought there was more in his car. Probably fancied himself being up there in fourth or fifth with his teammate, which you would expect. He's getting his head around that Ferrari, and I think he is doing the best of any of the drivers to move teams or enter Formula One this year. Carlos has proven that he is class, and in my eyes, on a different Formula One show, you know, that other one I do with those other Biffs, I shouldn't say other Biffs. With those other Biffs makes me sound like I'm a Biff. And I'm not a Biff. They're Biffs. We all know that. But I might have turned around and said that Ferrari had two Felipe Massas in the car. Or two Rubens Barrichellos. Can't remember now. Probably Felipe Massas, I said. I obviously don't think that. But I do believe Carlos Sainz is probably, if Ferrari get a car capable of like fighting at the front to win a world championship, I think Carlos, when he's embedded in that team, will be the surer feat to do better week after week after week after week. I think he is the modern reincarnation of Prost, maybe. But yeah, I think he'll be grand. I think he's going to get his head around this. I think it's going to be good. Speaking of people getting their heads around things, Daniel Ricciardo has had a great weekend, outqualified his teammate, raced really well. It would have been interesting maybe if there had been a closer comparison between Lando and Daniel to see if what Lando had race pace wise against him. That would have been good, because there was a little bit of me wondering, I wonder if Daniel will end up having to make way for Lando again, but he didn't have to, so that was good. But a good race, hopefully something Ricciardo can build on. He said he felt good in some corners, then there was other corners where he felt he was sort of not really on it and losing a little bit, but clearly positive steps for Daniel Ricciardo, and it's a strange one for me because, like, I'm so fickle with. Well, sorry, I'm not fickle actually. I'm exactly the opposite of fickle. I'm going to explain why. If I find a driver that I really like them a boy blue, you know, you saw how, like, I defended Jensen over the years. And I waved that Jensen flag with pride. But and Lando's my new guy. But usually when I have teammates, the teammate of the person I'm supporting, I want them to just be destroyed. That's like, I just want you destroyed by my God. But not in this case. I want Lando to beat Daniel, but I don't want Daniel to come out of it badly. So I'm really hoping that this is like the turning point, and it would be good for Lando Norris to come out on top of a fight with Ricciardo through the whole season. That you know, that's a real fight. Sergio Perez was fifth, kind of innocuous. He was in no man's land. Shouldn't have been beaten by Ferrari given the car he's got. I'm not really sure what's going to happen here. You know, if I'm going to criticize Valtteri Bottas, which I'm probably going to do, then you have to criticize Perez here. Max Verstappen was in no man's land again. You know, he was in that thing where he had two Mercedes. Well, he didn't have a second Mercedes to worry about, but that's only because Bottas was too slow. He should have been fighting two Mercedes this weekend, and it was more luck for him than not that he wasn't fighting two Mercedes. It's not good enough from Perez, but I don't know what Red Bull do. I mean, the only thing I can suggest, or I think Red Bull could do, is they could just go for a smash and grab on a top driver and try and manage a team with two top talents like Max Verstappen. You know, it's if Mercedes don't take George Russell, do you go for a smash for George Russell and pay to get him out of his contract and get him into Red Bull? I think if Mercedes don't use him, we've seen they did it with Renault with Ocon. I don't think they would destroy George Russell's career just to keep him from being competition. I don't think that's how Mercedes work. I certainly don't think it's how Toto Wolff would work. But yeah, I don't really know what Red Bull do, because Sergio really needs to come together, like, and quickly. Because at the minute, Bottas is more than vulnerable. And Perez should be up there hassling, if not ahead of Bottas, because he's the one not performing to what that car is. I mean, obviously, Perez isn't performing to what the car is either. But if he could just turn it on. And I think the thing is, there's more chance of Perez being able to do it than there is Bottas, because Bottas is just doing the job Bottas has always done. It's just Red Bull are closer. Perez can do a better job than Bottas, I think, especially in races. Maybe not in qualifying. Maybe Bottas has the edge on him over a single lap. But during a race, I believe Perez has it on Bottas. But it's just not there at the moment. And it's not good enough for the situation Red Bull are in. They need both drivers there. Otherwise, this is going to be a unassailable task for Max Verstappen to win a world championship. Charles Leclerc was fourth. Excellent drive, Charles Leclerc. You know, I give Charles a little bit of stick here and there, but he was legitimately best of the rest this weekend and found himself in front of Red Bull. I'm not sure. It's probably him or Lewis for me who was driver of the day, if I'm perfectly honest. Good drive, Charles. And it's, do you know what? I'm not the greatest Ferrari fan, as you probably know. I think they cheat a lot. But unless they're cheating now, which I don't think they are because of how close it was for them last time, they've done a really good job to at least get that car back up into the midfield. And like I say, third best car on the grid today. Valtteri Bottas, now. Do we talk about this now or do we talk about it later? Let's talk about it now. I know some of you asked me in the comments to talk about it, and I'm sure some of you have got comments about it, which we will still go through at the end. boring race from Bottas. He, Max and Lewis checked out on him. He couldn't keep up with them. Just basically run a Bottas race until Lewis Hamilton had to pit from second for new tyres in order to make up 20-odd seconds to try and attack Max Verstappen. Now, Bottas was told over the radio, I'm sure you all know this, I don't know why I'm trying to build tension, but you know where it's going. Bottas was told over the radio, don't hold Lewis back. Bottas did hold Lewis up. And I believe that overtake on Bottas, using DRS as well, was a legitimate overtake because Bottas turned in on him. Like, Bottas defended. It wasn't like he held him up for a bit. And then as soon as Lewis got alongside and went, ah, fair fucks, you did it. You did me, Louis. On you go. Go and try and win your race. He didn't. He turned in and he wanted to stop what was going on. I don't hate this. Yeah? Because it's what Bottas should be trying to do. He's trying to save his Formula One career. I think he knows his days in Mercedes are numbered. So he needs to prove that he's fucking still got some fight left in him. And it's not been beaten out of him by arguably the greatest racing driver of all time. Lewis said after the race that it was fine. And that Bottas did nothing wrong. And that he enjoyed the battle. And he actually said Bottas let him past. I don't believe this. I think this is PR speak. I think it's very easy to be magnanimous in victory. Had Lewis Hamilton lost the Grand Prix by a second or 2 seconds, I think that would have been a different Lewis. So, yeah, I think Bottas will have had an interesting debrief. And I don't... Right, he was asked in the press briefings, wasn't he, about being replaced before the end of the year. Does he know something? Like, even if it's not been, like, announced to him within the team, has there been, like, a particular team member which is close to Valtteri, which has whispered, look, I've heard from reliable sources that coming out of Stuttgart, they are thinking they prefer a young British guy in the car rather than a almost middle-aged Finn. So, I don't even know how old Bottas is. He could be 50 for all I know. But yeah, I'm convinced. I'm convinced he did that because he knows he's on his way out and he's trying to save his career. Makes sense to me, guys. Makes sense to me. Max Verstappen was second. See, this is where I found the race boring. I enjoyed him getting into the lead because I thought it showed it. You know, it gave more of a chance for a decent race. We didn't really get much of a race from after that. You know, it was cool watching them trade lap times, but ultimately, I think we all kind of realised, especially when Lewis pitted, and even when they. This is what I find crazy about what happened to Max Verstappen. Red Bull radioed over. Oh, quickly. Props to this whole team manager to FIA thing. We need more of that. Toto Wolff to the FIA about blue flags was great. Really enjoyed it. Big surprise. Didn't expect it to happen. So, yeah, I want more of that. But when they sort of radioed into him saying, oh, yeah, Lewis has pitted. This could be Hungary again. Why didn't they pit him? You could see on the, I mean, albeit, let's be honest, flaky Amazon stat package that you get. We could see that they were, he would have come out a second ahead of Lewis. So he still, even if he'd have gone round, like, because obviously Lewis snuck in, it would have been tight, don't get me wrong, and he could have lost position if Red Bull didn't do a good stop. But it was a better tactic than just leaving him hanging because he was so much slower. And even then when they went in, they should have dragged him back in, maybe 15 laps to go, something like that, put soft tyres on. 3 seconds a lap quicker he was at Lewis Hamilton when they stuck the softs on him. Who knows how long that would have lasted for? I get it, but he'd have had a chance to do the same thing. as it was, they left him out long enough where they really, they made it inevitable. This was as soon as the Bottas Hamilton thing was over, it was inevitable he was going to catch Max Verstappen, and that Max wouldn't have had an answer to him just because he had no fucking grip. So I don't know what Red Bull were thinking. I mean, realistically, I've just discussed Lewis Hamilton's race as well, so I don't even think there's much point in talking about the winner now, but great race win. Lewis is, what, two race wins away from 100 wins, just got 100 poles. It's fucking incredible. You know, if he wins the championship this year, and he's going to leave, well, not leave Formula 1, but he's going to leave 2021 over 100 poles, all the other records that he smashed over the years. I'm sure there'll be a couple of records pop up that I haven't noticed. You know, he's going to leave with over 100 wins. I mean, he will absolutely win three races this year. So he will have over 100 wins at least. You know, he's obviously, I mean, he's probably going to win, what, six races, seven races, 10? I don't know. Fucking Lewis Hamilton, he could win nearly all of them for all we know, because I think that's, this is the real shout to Red Bull, is that I think Mercedes' problems were greatly exaggerated at the beginning. I think Red Bull's performance, although a good car and a better Red Bull than we've had for a while, was slightly exaggerated as well. But normal service appears to be resuming with Mercedes. On a track like Spain, Catalunya, what's it called? Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember what the circuit, why am I saying Catalunya? I can't remember what the circuit is. Fuck it. At the Spanish Grand Prix. The Spanish Grand Prix, California. You know, it's a chassis circuit. It's a car circuit. And the fact that we thought Mercedes had the weaker car, and on those medium tyres, even without taking the aging tyres for Max into comparison, when they got on the mediums, Lewis was just on it, wasn't he? He was on it. So, I can't put him out of the championship now. As far as I'm concerned, I think this is going to be a closer championship, but I don't think it's going to be the titanic battle that we want and deserve. I think we're going to get sold short by Mercedes just being fucking great again, which is a shame. We'll have a quick look at the standings before I listen to what you guys had to say to me. Driver standings, Lewis Hamilton is at the top of the championship with 94 points. That is 14 points ahead of Max Verstappen with 80. Valtteri Bottas finally got himself up there a little bit, and he is on 47 points in third position, which unfortunately sees Lando Norris demoted to fourth in the championship. Charles Leclerc fifth, Sergio is sixth, which is fucking silly. He should be above Lando, really, if we're all fucking honest. And really above Bottas, because Bottas had a torrid time. So if Sergio could have got on board quicker, he'd have been there. Daniel Ricciardo's doing a good job in seventh, considering how iffy the start of his McLaren career has been. I think to be ahead of a Ferrari and just behind Sergio isn't too bad. Carlos Sainz in eighth, Esteban Ocon ninth, Pierre Gasly in 10th. Lance Stroll in 11th, Fernando Alonso in 12th with only 5 points. Yuki Tsunoda is 2nd. Everybody else is pointless. So I have some chatter from you people. Someone asking whether I post the hot lap Spotify. I feel I haven't seen them on there. I'll have to message you back. If anyone wonders, listen to this on the YouTube or the Patreon or something like that. You can't listen to YouTube. It doesn't go on YouTube. Fucking facts. Obviously, yeah, this does go on Spotify, but it doesn't go on the Musty Audio. But you obviously, if you fucking listen to this, you know, fucking shut up, Lee. Antkit Dandu. Ricardo looked great. Is he going to have the measure for Lando starting from now, or was it a one-off? I don't think it's a one-off. I think he's going to fight. Lando like much closer all over the year. Atomic Fabrications, who asked me about Spotify, I will message back as soon as I finish this. Maybe some of Ocon versus Alonso talk. Who would have thought four races in he would be outqualified and outraced Alonso? I'm not a huge Esteban fan, but he's really stepped up this year. He has stepped up this year, and I think that goes without saying. I'm still not convinced that that's the way it's going to stay. And I think lack of testing is a real issue this year. So I just don't see Fernando not getting on top of this. You know, I think he's Fernando's a fucking clever boy, isn't he? He's not daft. So yeah, I think he's going to be great. So yeah, Dave. Hi Dave. How you doing, mate? I missed it. Do I need to watch the replay, or are highlights enough? Highlights are enough. But if you listen to this, you'd have made your own choice. Ben Dover. I'm starting to think you change your fucking... You change your name just for these questions. We talked about giving Checo time in the car, but he was nowhere near the top three. Basically allowed Merck to play with the strategy and win. Not to mention that it's Barcelona. He took an eternity to get past Ricciardo. Yeah, it's not good enough. It's absolutely not good enough. Checo needs to step it up. You know, he's not only just got a car capable of winning races, he's got a car capable of winning a world championship. You know, it's my half dream that I didn't believe would have been that he'd have come in and like rammed fucking Verstappen a new one, and we didn't realize all this time we were watching him going, yeah, he's quite good at saving his tires. He's actually just like a genius Formula One driver that was trapped in a mid-grid car. Dean Mercedes, Bottas Mercedes relationship can't be great if he disobeys team orders. George in before the end of the season. I think George will be in before the end of the season. You know, there's something going on with that. And I think George is smart enough to come into Formula One, take Bottas's seat. Oh, sorry, come into Mercedes, take Bottas's seat under the proviso of, look, you can go next year. You can fight Lewis all you want. You are our future. But this year, you can't win the world championship. You need to play the team game, because he knows if he can do a similar job to what he did in Hamilton's car, in Bahrain. So that's the noise I make when I'm not sure of what I'm saying. You'll have noticed me say it a lot. Apart from when I said California, because I was fucking sure about that. I think he's smart enough to come in and play the team game for a year. But I also think he's ballsy enough to say, yeah, right, I'll do it. But next year, there's two number ones in this team. And like I said, I'd love to see a championship with Lewis and George going head to head. I think it'd be great. I think Lewis would probably come out on top the first year. But I reckon George has the tools to give him a fucking good run for his money. And eventually be the guy that beats him out of Formula One, like in a Alonso Schumacher style, like I keep saying. Mazepin blue flags. Mazepin ignores blue flags. He does not see the colour. He does not see the rainbow like we do. He only sees green, baby. Ricardo holding off Perez and Sainz. Ricardo had a great drive, said it before. Gasly just missed out, just missing ninth place. I thought he was ninth. No, he was 10th. Yeah, great recovery drive, as we said. Darren Entwistle, Bottas holding up Lewis. Yeah, little smiley face. It was fucking hilarious, I'm not going to lie. And right, the thing was, there was a bit of me there, not just the fact that I had £5 on Max Verstappen to win the race, but I kind of wanted Lewis to come second just to see the aftermath if he came second by a second and a half. Could you imagine? Oh, fucking hell, that just did things to me. The piss that would have been boiled. The piss. Oh. Ocon, impressive. Alonso not doing so well. Yeah, we've already covered this, Chris. You're right. Vettel, a wasted seat. Ah, I don't want to say it. I want to give him time. And I know he's had all those years in Ferrari, but we can't fucking forget the fact it's not like he's got, I don't know, Perez as a teammate. He's got fucking Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll. Man so slow they named him Stroll, not Run. Yeah, it's not good, is it? I think you're probably right, to be perfectly honest. I think Vettel's days in Formula One might be numbered. I don't think, as much as Ferrari was a fucking shark tank, I don't think Aston Martin with the Strolls is going to be any fucking, like, less teefy. So I do, I feel for Vettel. I think this is, he needed to hit the ground running and spank Stroll by seconds a lap, didn't he, for this to work. He needed to come in and go, like, slap his big old thick four-time world championship winning cock on the table and say, check this out, lads. This is a Grand Prix winner's cock. Yeah, and he hasn't, has he? Chris, Hamilton, super impressive again. Yes, you've put a little goat behind it. And I think you're right. You know, it's, I've said this for years on Three Legs, Four Wheels, that we, when Lewis retires, we will be having the conversation of whether he's the greatest of all time. I was completely wrong about that, because we are having the conversation of whether he's the greatest of all time, and he's still in his prime, which is even more impressive. Red Bulls, out-strategied again. Yep. And strategy used to be Red Bull's fucking biscuit, didn't it? Gasly, impressive recovery drive. We said that. Yeah, Bottas, useless. I mean, is he useless? He was third. But again, he's only third because Perez is doing badly. If it was still Ricciardo and Verstappen, Mercedes would have no chance of winning the Constructors' Championship. And I think that would be enough to stop Lewis winning the Drivers' Championship. Mazepin is probably the most out-of-depth Formula One driver since Harianto. Yeah, I'm not going to... As much as I wanted Mazepin to do well, just so I could continue to boil people's piss. God, I say that a lot. Yeah, I'd have loved him to, but it's not looking good. And this is the shit thing about Formula One in the modern age. Now we are into the era of the... obviously we've always had super rich people, but there seems to be such wealth controlled by certain numbers of people that you do get the Strolls and you do get the Mazepins that can just fucking buy themselves like everything they want. Like, you want a drive? Yeah, you can have a drive, you can afford it. Do you want a team? Yeah, give me a team. Fucking, there you go, there's a team. Do you want a continent? Yeah, take Africa. You know, makes me feel sad. It does. Makes me feel sad. Chris's closing comment. Thank you for all the points, by the way, Chris. I know we touched on some of them earlier, but I kind of had to going through them, but I do appreciate them. That's why I'm going through them all. McLaren, great day. It was a good day. Yeah. I mean, I think Lando probably wanted a little bit more. I did. I put £5 on him for a podium. But at the end of the day, you start out a position in Spain, this is what's going to happen. The points mainly rain on the plane. No, doesn't work. There's nothing I can do. F1 fan 2. Fernando Alonso is the GOAT. Great man with his own go-karting track and team. That's a statement, not a question or a talking point. And finally, Robert Sparks. Is Bottas leaving Mercedes? Where will he go when Merck don't want him now? Where will he go? Haas? Can't we go to Haas unless... Alfa Romeo. Alfa Romeo would be a good home. They could replace Kimi. They could just do a Finn swap. Or he'd be a good replacement for Giovinazzi. Williams, if George Russell was to go to Mercedes, he could go to Williams. They could just swap Seat. He could go back there. He wouldn't want to, obviously, because he's been in a championship winning team for X amount of years. But, you know, Hustler's got to do what Hustler's got to do. And I don't think he's going to be running that hustle in said Mercedes anymore. So, thank you for listening to the Hot Lap. It's been a fucking joy again talking to myself about Formula One for you to listen to. And sometimes I look up and realise this is 50 minutes and think, how the fuck have I rambled on for 50 minutes on my own? It's almost like I'm half decent at doing these monologue podcasts. Again, thank you if you are a patron to Must See Audio. I know this doesn't go up on the Must See Audio channel, but it's obviously like Must See Audio is like my brand, if you like. And anything that goes into Must See Audio helps me do things like this. So if you want to help me make content, I have a new show coming to Must See Audio, or like a shaken up show, which should be hitting next week. I'm literally, anyone that enjoyed Start Continue might enjoy this, but it's going to be less video game focused. It is going to have Glenn back. So if you were a fan of Glenn on Start Continue, he will be a regular panelist with me for it. I'm thinking it's going to be something like, the show's hopefully going to be somewhere in the mix of a, what we used to do with Start Continue. Like if you watch Lou Later, who does like the Unbox Therapy, we might cover some tech stuff as well, like Apple launches and things like that. I also am pretty keen on covering like large, like pop culture things, like fucking celebrity YouTubers getting bopped by Floyd Mayweather and that sort of thing. So that's hopefully, that's where we are. Might even be able to slide a tiny little bit of pro wrestling in here and there when there's a big thing like a WrestleMania going on. So yeah, that's the plan for what will be that show. I'm still going to do interviews and stuff like that. I'm still going to do the movie show, like not the director's cut with Susie. She hasn't been able to come around this week. And last week we did like a big mega 2.5 hour thon, which she has to edit to put up on YouTube. It's going to be a YouTube thing. It was a test thing. It was really good fun. I think you'll find bits of it funny. I'll probably put it up in parts, so it's easier to digest. But yeah, we're coming out of lockdown, aren't we? And I think for Must See Audio, we want to try and freshen things up a little bit. And that this is what I'm going to try and do. So there is content coming to you. So if you're a subscriber, it's not that been lazy, or, you know, it's just, there is fucking things going to come your way. If you don't want to subscribe to Must See Audio to help me out for these things, this show is obviously on Sports Social Podcast Network. That's why there's an advert and stuff in the middle of it. I don't really get a lot for adverts, to be perfectly honest. It's much more valuable for me if you retweet this. Like now, if you listen to this now, instead of just flicking off to listen to Joe Rogan or whatever your next podcast is, just share it. Because if you like it, a couple of your friends might like it. That's how I grow a bigger audience. And I'll, inside baseball, since I had the virus which shall not be named, Denier, on my podcast, which I think I had a very good chat with him. I don't think I don't think I came across as being like crazy. My Must See Audio numbers have been in the bin, so I think Must See Audio might be a little tiny bit shadow banned some places. Anyway, this isn't really Must See Audio, so I'm probably just waffling, but I'm, you know, you guys help me, don't you? I know you're into the content I make, so I'm just telling you where we are with it. If you want to follow me on social media, I am at A Total Shunt on Instagram and Twitter. They are the two things I use most. there is a, I thought it was published actually. I haven't published the Hot Lap Facebook page, but I fucking hate Facebook, guys. I do. I hate it. Hate fucking Facebook. Hate Zuckerberg. It's just a fucking shithole for like single parents and nanas to shout at each other. I much prefer discussions with people on Instagram. Instagram's generally nicer. Twitter's entertaining. I'm in constant flux of like just being under 1,110 followers now on Twitter because I get past and I get like 150 and think, right, here we are, we're moving again, we're moving. Then I say something fucking hilarious and the new people that are along aren't like you guys. They're not savvy to my dry wit. And they stop following me. So there you go. But you know me, I'm not going to change because I'm too much of a narcissist. Thank you for listening. And to prove I'm a narcissist, I think I just waffled for another 10 minutes about my own stuff. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found some of it entertaining. If you didn't, I'm glad you liked the Formula One stuff. And I will see you next week and we can talk about anything that's happened in Formula One, what's going to happen in Monaco, and if Bottas has left. Bye-bye. Gross. Didn't even stop. Bye-bye.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.